The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 1, text number 34, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 28th, 2009, in Suva, Fiji.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 1, text number 34.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shadhatvan Girasa Padni Chatasro Sutakanyaka Senivali Kuhuraka Chaturshan Matistata Chaturthanu Matistata Shadhatvan Girasa Padni Chatasro Sutakanyaka Sanivali Kuhuraka Chaturshanu Matistata.
Translation. And Gira's wife, Shraddha, gave birth to four daughters named Sinivali, Kuhu, Raka, and Anumati.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Sabaduta Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishankan Vitamscha
So, normally, if there's no purport, we'll go to the next verse until we get a purport. But in this chapter, we'd have to read 22 more verses before we get to a philosophical purport. We don't have time to read. If we read the 22 verses, there are no time for lecture. So therefore, even though today's verse is simply a list of four daughters, we will speak on this verse. So this entire chapter is simply a list of daughters. One could ask the question, I thought this was philosophy. Why are we interested to hear a list of a bunch of girls, you see? A bunch of girls' names. Why are we doing that? especially your brahmacharis. Why do we want to hear a list of girls' names? Actually, these are great personalities. These genealogical tables, they're not given for whimsical reasons. Actually, these are great personalities. By uttering the name of a great personality with devotion, you get the blessings of that great personality. We may think, well, it's just a list of names, but actually these are great, great, great personalities. And their names have great shakti, great power to utter their names, to meditate on their names, has great uplifting power. This is the great benefit of being conscious of these saintly persons. Actually, in this connection, Lord Krishna states, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate jana, mad bhaktanansha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta, he is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So the more we can worship the devotees, you see, the more we can meditate upon, serve with love the Vaishnavas, you see, that is how we become accepted by Krishna. Prabhupada always liked to quote that English saying, if you love me, love my dog. He said, the spiritual master, he is the dog of God. So if you want to actually love God, you must love the dog of God. Of course, we do not see the spiritual master as dog. The spiritual master, he feels he is dog. Vaishnavas, we feel we are dogs. Isn't that what we are wearing here, dog color? This is Kanti Mala, actually, this is our dog color, you see. We are God's dogs, you see. We are very happy to be the dogs of God. Actually, the dog has very good qualification. The dog is very dedicated to his master. We have seen the dog, he will even give up his life to save the life of the master. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays like that, please accept me as your dog. So, Prabhupada said like that, if you love me, love my dog. So, we have to learn how to worship the Vaishnavas. This is so important thing. We are a growing family, the ISKCON family. So, we have to learn how to love all the devotees. It's a very important thing. Sometimes people think ISKCON is the buildings, it's the bank accounts, it's the corporate resolutions. This is ISKCON. But no, that is not the real ISKCON. The real ISKCON is the loving relationships between the devotees. That is the real ISKCON. Rupa Goswami gives six kinds of loving exchanges between the Vaishnavas, you see. If we have those loving exchanges between the devotees, then that is ISKCON. And if not, Prabhupada used coined another term, MISKCON. If that loving relationship is not there, it is not ISKCON, it is MISKCON. We are missing Krishna consciousness, you see. Missing Krishna consciousness. MISKCON. So it is very, very essential for the success of our movement and for each one of us to be spiritually successful that we learn how to have loving relationships between the Vaishnavas. I remember one of my godbrothers, he was giving very, very nice lecture in Vrindavan. And he made very strong point, don't offend Vaishnavas. And I was thinking, well, that's true. But if someone gives you You know, you come into a new organization. Let's say some new member comes into ISKCON. And the first thing you tell them is, okay, here you are now, you're with us. Now, whatever you do, don't offend a devotee. He needs a positive instruction. Yeah, well, what? Don't offend a devotee, because if you do, it's hati mata, you'll fall down. And you think, well, okay, what? Should I just keep my mouth shut? Should I hide in the corner? I mean, how am I going to? I'm afraid of committing this offense towards devotees. So what am I supposed to do? Don't offend a devotee. Whatever you do, don't offend a devotee. So actually, the more important, even though that's true, the most important thing is to understand how you're supposed to relate with the devotees. Not just the negative instruction, don't offend a Vaishnava. You think, well, I'll play it safe. I just won't associate. I won't come to the temple. I'll stay at home and chant all by myself so I don't offend any devotees, you see. See, that's not the meaning. So the best thing is to understand how to properly relate with the Vaishnavas. And that is given in that wonderful bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. Anande bolo hari bhajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Anande Bolo Hari, ecstatically chant Hare Krishna Mantra. Anande Bolo Hari, Bhaja Vrindavan, worship that holy Vrindavan Dham. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade, the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava, you see. Majayaman, always in your mind, you worship those lotus feet of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, you see. So, sometimes we see devotees are very dedicated to their guru, but everyone else, you know, who cares? No. Every Vaishnava must be worshipped. This is proper Vaishnava culture, you see. Every Vaishnava is worshipable, whether they are Uttamadikari, whether they are Majjhamadikari, even Kanishtadikari. We are very respectful. What is the proof? Everyone knows that story of Murghari the hunter. He was killing those animals and leaving them half dead, enjoying their suffering. But Narada Muni came and he said, no, you kill them full. Murghari accepted the order and then he said, now don't kill them at all and break your bow. What? How will I live? I'm a hunter by profession. You're taking away my job. How will I survive? How will I feed my family? Narad Muni said, you do not worry. You simply get one hut and you worship Tulsi, and I will make sure that you have sufficient eatables. So he surrendered to his Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni, and worshiped the Tulsi there with his wife, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And all the people in the precinct, they heard that the hunter, now he's become Vaishnav. So everyone is coming. They're bringing fruits, grains, vegetables, everything. So he has unlimited supply of foodstuffs. You see. So now Narada Muni, he flies through space. He doesn't need to go on Air Pacific, you see. Just by his desire, he can go anywhere he likes. He can come to Fiji, he can go to New Zealand, America, Brahmaloka, he can go anywhere he wants, just by his desire, you see. Sometimes he also takes traveling companion, Parvat Muni. So he told one day Parvat Muni, let's go see, I'd like to see what is my disciple Murghari up to. So let us go see. So they came to the place of Murghari. And Murghari, of course, when you see your spiritual master, immediately what do? Dandavat. It is not buddy buddy, oh, hi Gurudev. No. At the feet, respectfully, here is God's representative, the manifestation of Krishna, my spiritual master. So you bow down at the feet of your spiritual master. Yes. So, immediately. But Murghari, he was hesitating. What is going on? Why is he hesitating to bow down? Yes. Oh, there's some ants on the ground. He's very gently picking up those ants, you see. Very gently picking up the ants. So there is no herding of the ants, or killing of the ants, you see. So how much he has become respectable, how much a Vaishnava becomes respectable even to a little tiny ant, you see. What to speak of a human being? And amongst the human beings, what to speak of a Vaishnava? He is the most exalted human of the human beings, you see. So in this way, we remember our Vaishnava culture. That even a little ant, we give all respect to that little ant. That how much more we respect a human being, and what to speak of a Vaishnava, who's even more worshipable than a human being, you see. So in this way, if we build our society on this loving relationships between devotees, then very quickly the whole world will come running to join us, you see. Because where is that love in this material world? It is simply based on exploitation, lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy. The whole thing is going on in this, absorbed in these six enemies: kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsarya. These six enemies, you see. So we can build this ISKCON movement on this loving relationships. Having love and respect for all the Vaishnavas and all human beings. See? Then our movement will become the successful movement that Prabhupada envisions it will become. Everyone will come and join our society. Because where do you have that kind of love in this material world? It's not existing here. People are starving for that kind of love, you see. So if we have that kind of love here in our ISKCON society, the whole world will come to become happy. Just as Prabhupada came here to Fiji, he also went to Mauritius. Actually, he was in Mauritius, he was invited by the government, can you imagine? I just recently went to Mauritius. One of my godbrothers, Arjuna Prabhu, he's serving there from the time of Prabhupada. He's telling me so many wonderful things about Prabhupada going to Mauritius. And one of the most wonderful things is how Prabhupada was preaching there to the government leaders in Mauritius. He explained how the Vedic culture is not the government, you see. The Vedic society, the government, the governing, is not based on law. It's based on love. This is a very revolutionary concept, actually. Our entire modern-day society, whether it's the Fiji government, Australia government, all these governments, you see, they're based on law. They have the laws and they have the police force to back up the law. You obey the law or the police come and they put you in handcuffs and they take you to the jail. That's the basis of the society, you see. But that is not a very happy society. Prabhupada explained that it's based on love. Vedic society is based on love, you see. There is the ruler, the king. And the citizens love their king. Because they know the king loves them, you see. The king gives all kindness to the citizens. If there is difficulty, he supplies them their eatables. He gives everything. There's no starvation. There's no poverty. The king makes sure that everyone is well fed, well clothed, well housed, that everyone's nicely engaged in their occupational duty as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The king makes sure that everyone is happy. So everyone loves their king because they know, oh, the king, he loves me, so I love him. So out of love, people follow the laws of the state. Not out of fear of being arrested, but out of love. Because they want to please their king, you see. So, in the same way, our ISKCON society, you see. We need to show this model. not simply some list of rules and regulations, you see. What we're doing, we're following these principles because we love our leaders. We love Srila Prabhupada, we love our spiritual masters, we love the senior devotees who are preaching to us and teaching us how to practice Krishna consciousness, you see. Out of love, we should be doing. This is how our society will be successful. If we're out of loving relationship, we want to please the senior devotees, our leaders, those who are guiding us in Krishna consciousness. So in this way, by basing our movement on this principle of loving relationship, which is based on having respect and worshipping even the Vaishnavas, then our movement will be very, very successful. And our lives will become completely full of happiness. We will not take birth again. Punar janma na vidyate. We will not take birth again in this material world. So it is a very happy thing, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada told us many years ago, in the old days, when he was still known as Swamiji by the devotees, he told us, he said, you cannot find anything about this Krishna consciousness movement that you can say, Swamiji, this is troublesome. He said, it is simply recreation, susukam. So that is the actual position of Krishna consciousness. When we become Krishna conscious, then none of these activities that Prabhupada has given us, none of them will seem troublesome. We'll be very happy to rise early in the morning, attend the Mangal Arti. Or if we're living away from the temple, we'll be very enlivened to rise early in our home, have an Arti ceremony, sing Garbhastakam prayers. You see, we'll be very happy to observe the Mangal Arti that Prabhupada instructed us to observe. It'll be a joy for us, a great pleasure. You see. So, to engage in all the activities that Prabhupada has given us, it will be a great joy to preach, to distribute books, to go on Harinam Sankirtan, to organize wonderful festivals, to cook, to clean. Even washing pots will be ecstatic, you see. In the material world, nobody wants to be a pot washer. But in Krishna consciousness, it's a great joy. Just like we read Srila Gurudev when he was first joined the temple in San Francisco. That was his first service, to clean the pots, you see. And he became very, very joyful to make sure there was not one little spot on that pot, you see. So this is the mood. If I'm asked to clean the pots, I say, oh, this is wonderful. I get to clean Krishna's pot. Let me make sure there's not even one spot on that pot, you see. It becomes a great ecstatic festival. Pot washing, you see. This is the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness. Just imagine that one can take pot washing as an ecstatic engagement. Even cleaning the toilet. My godbrother Uttama Shloka, when he joined our temple in Detroit, he was given that service, Bhakta so-and-so, your duty is to clean the toilet. Instead of thinking, ooh, who wants to touch the toilet? No, he said, let me do this, make this toilet the cleanest possible toilet. He took it as an ecstatic engagement, you see, cleaning the toilet. So in this way, whatever service has been arranged for us by our authorities, if we will take it with great enthusiasm, utsahat, you see, utsahan nishtayat dharayat, this enthusiasm, it is the very first principle of Krishna consciousness. We should be always very, very enthusiastic. Actually, I got very special mercy from Prabhupada in this connection. When I first joined our society back in Austin, Texas in 1971, one of Gurudev's Gurudev's closest friend, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, they joined ISKCON together. So, at that time, Tamakrishna Goswami, I think he may have been in Europe, and Vishnu Jan Maharaj, he came to Austin and opened the temple. So he made me a devotee, and I was very, very inspired by his mood. His mood was a festival at every minute. Krishna consciousness is a 24 hours a day festival. It makes such a wonderful festive atmosphere that anybody who comes around wants to join immediately. And it was happening. He came to Austin all by himself with no madanga, no harmonium, no kartals. just a danda, a blanket, a toothbrush, a shaving blade, the first canto of Bhagavatam and a case of BTGs. That's all he had, no money. And within a few weeks, he had a house full of devotees. It was amazing how empowered he was. He had this vision of making the whole world Krishna conscious by creating a wonderful festive atmosphere that anybody who comes around, the devotees, will immediately want to join. And it was happening. It was amazing to see it. He was truly amazing preacher. Vishnu Jana Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Amazing preacher. So anyway, I was inspired by his mood of wanting to spread Krishna consciousness. So when I got initiated, Prabhupada was in London. He initiated me by letter. And so normally when you get your diksha, you turn in your dakshina to your Guru Maharaj. You see. But in this case, my Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, he's in Europe. So I had a wonderful opportunity. I get to write a letter and mail my Guru Dakshina to Prabhupada. It was wonderful. This is a very good opportunity. I get to write Prabhupada a letter. So I told Prabhupada that I want to spread this Krishna consciousness movement because I'd been so inspired by Vishnu Janaswami. And Prabhupada was so appreciative that I said that. He wrote me back. He said, he gave me the exact amount, just like an accountant, he gave me the exact amount of the three checks, down to the penny. I received these three checks for this amount. Make sure the checks don't get lost, you see. That there was, just like an accountant, he gave me the exact penny amount of each check that I had sent him. And then he said, I can see that you're a very enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. And then he gave me the most wonderful instruction. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Now, Prabhupada has taught us that one should take the order of one's spiritual master as one's very life and soul, that you should even worship the order you receive from your spiritual master. So I decided to take that order very seriously. And to be quite honest, in the 38 years I've been a member of this movement, there's been many ups and downs in our society. Many, many ups and downs. But I was never brought down by any of the downs. Because Prabhupada had ordered me, continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So it worked. Prabhupada's words, they are not spoken in vain. They're not simply some sales pitch. They are absolute truth. By following Prabhupada's instruction to always be enthusiastic, no matter what. In English, there's a saying, come hell or high water, you see. It doesn't matter what happens. Always keep that enthusiasm. I've found that Krishna is blessing me. Day after day after day, I'm receiving the unceasing flow of Krishna's blessings by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So this is actually the very first principle of Krishna consciousness movement. The very first principle of advancing on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead, is always keep your enthusiasm, no matter what. Always be enthusiastic to engage in the activities of sadhana bhakti. Always be enthusiastic to preach. Always be enthusiastic to associate with devotees. Always be enthusiastic to glorify Krishna. To be engaged in the hearing and chanting and remembering the wonderful, unlimitedly sweet pastimes, qualities, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. of that all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous personality who stands on the bank of the river Jamuna in the moonlit night of the Charit season, wearing a yellow dhoti with a peacock in his fair and playing the fifth note on his flute and attracting all those damsels, you see. We should always be very, very keen, you see, to absorb ourselves in this kind of smarana, you see. Because this liberates us from all the anxieties of material existence. So anyway, we have a few minutes left. Today is a special class. I usually have to give a little short abbreviated class, and there's enough time for one question. But now we actually have 10 whole minutes for questions. Anybody has a question, now's your chance. Please ask questions. Questions are very nice. Actually, Krishna orders when you approach spiritual master, you should inquire. That's the order of Krishna given in Bhagavad Gita. So by Prabhupada's grace, even though I personally have no qualification, he has made me a spiritual master. So please inquire. That is Krishna's instruction. Yes. Yes.
When you reach the prema stage.
Prabhu, can you come here? I'm deaf, so why don't you come here and tell me right in my ear? Yeah. I'm really deaf now. In old age, I'm going deaf.
So. I was saying that when you reach the prema stage, is it you talk also about enviousness. Will you get over enviousness when you reach the prema stage?
Yes. So when one becomes absorbed in love, does enviousness go away? The answer is yes. The love and envy are two opposite things. So consider a continuum from 0% to 100%. If you develop 1% love, then your envy goes down to 99%. If you have 2% love, then your envy goes down to 98%. If you have 30% love, then your envy goes down to 70%. If you have 70% love, your envy goes down to 30%. So as you advance in love, you see your envy becomes less and less and less and less. When you have 99% love, then you only have 1% envy. So the more we advance in this love, love of Krishna, love of the holy name, love of the devotees, love of prasadam, love of you know, Bhagavatam, love of the Gita, love of the Krishna book, love of loving everything in relationship with Krishna. The more that love increases, we'll see the envy goes down, lower, 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 until finally the envy is completely wiped out. See? And we become non-envious. This is the description given of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are non-envious well-wishers. Dira dira janapriyo nirmatsaro. They are completely non-envious well-wishers of the human society. Actually, as I've been explaining recently, there's no need to be envious. Enviousness is simply a manifestation of foolishness. Because our actual happiness is not based on material acquisitions. Our actual happiness is based on how much reciprocation we have with Krishna. That's our real position of happiness. It's not based on money. It's not based on women. It's not based on followers. That is not actual happiness. That's the maya sukaya, illusory happiness. Real happiness is simply based on how much loving relationship, how much loving reciprocation one has with Krishna. Yayata mang prapadyante tang stataiva bhajamyaham. To whatever extent you've actually surrendered yourself to Krishna, that much happiness you have, you see. So, is Krishna some limited commodity? One very nice young boy in Sydney, who I'm cultivating now in Krishna consciousness, Bhakta Steve, he wrote me that he was wondering that how can there be enough of Krishna has so many devotees to take care of. I'm just one of millions of devotees, so how much reciprocation I can actually get from Krishna? Because I'm just one of millions of devotees. Now I explained to him, giving the example of the queens in Dwarka, you see. Even though Krishna had 16,108 queens, Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 Krishnas, so each queen had Krishna exclusively to herself. So So this is the wonder of Krishna, you see. To whatever extent you give yourself to Krishna, he will personally give himself to you to that extent. And if we follow the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 22, Ananyaschintayantamang yejana paryapasate tesham nityapayuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. He says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. In Fiji, that's pretty important, preserve what they have, because there's so much thievery here, you see. To have somebody who will guard your things for you, you see. Krishna says, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Well, that's a wonderful thing. So that is given to those who exclusively dedicate themselves to Krishna. That means not that they've given themselves 99% to Krishna, but they have given every single ounce of their love. It all goes to Krishna. You may say, but aren't they cruel then? They're neglecting their wife, their family members, because they're giving all their love to Krishna. But no, we know it doesn't work that way. When you water the root, then you give the best nourishment to every single leaf. So when you give your love 100% to Krishna, you become the best husband, the best wife, the best son, the best daughter, the best mother, the best father, the best brother, the best sister, the best teacher, the best prime minister. Whatever you're doing, the best boss in your company, whatever you're doing, you become the very best. Because you're giving your love 100% to Krishna, now your love is going 100% to every single living entity throughout the entire existence. So, if one gives himself exclusively to Krishna, then Krishna gives himself exclusively to you, that you have Krishna. 100% of Krishna is now becomes your property. As Prabhupada said, I belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me. You see? Krishna becomes your exclusive property. You see? So there's no question of being envious. If I have all of Krishna as my personal property, why would I be envious of anyone? Because I have all of Krishna as my personal property. The full Krishna is my personal property. So what's the question of being envious of anyone? So in the spiritual world, nobody is envious of anyone. You may think, well, what about the plants? I mean, don't they feel envious of the gopi girls who get to dance in the forest? They're stuck, you know, stavara. They're stuck in one place. Maybe the plants are envious. One may think, surely the bamboos would be envious because they're stuck in one place. They can't dance the rasa dance. But you know what? The bamboos are proud. Prabhupada explained, the bamboos are very, very proud. You know why? Because one of their family members is Krishna's flute. And they're standing very proud and tall, the bamboos, because one of our family members, he is Krishna's flute. And they're very happy, they're very jubilant. The bamboos in Goloka are very jubilant. They're not envious of the gopis. But even if they were envious, there is no envy, because Prabhupada explains there is full freedom in the spiritual world. This is not widely known, but I've heard it on a tape, and it's there in the Veda base. Anybody wants to see the evidence, I can give you the quote. I told one sannyasi, he said, no, where's the evidence? But the evidence is right there in the Veda base. Prabhupada is saying that in the spiritual world, you can change your rasa also if you want to. There's full freedom. If you're a cowherd boy and you'd rather be a cowherd girl, you see, you can switch genders. In the spiritual world now, people want to, that's the latest thing in the modern world. People want to switch genders. It's crazy because we're not the body anyway. Actually, somebody wrote me the other day. They said, I was really depressed at the Rath Yatra dancing because I was dancing with the Madhajis. It's a brahmachari. And the Madhajis, they told me to go dance with the men and I got really depressed. So I want to change genders and get diksha. Is that okay? That's a stupid thing. In the material world, why do you need to change genders? We're not the body anyway. What difference does it make? It's either we have two different kinds of airplanes for flying back to home, back to Godhead. We have male airplanes and female airplanes for going back to home, back to Godhead. What difference does it make? Or you can say in the airplane, you know, you've got the right side of the aisle and the left side of the aisle. The women's side and the men's side. So who cares which side of the plane you're sitting on? I just want to be going back to Godhead, you see. So this person wanted to get my blessings that they could change genders so I can wear a sari and dance with the women and marry a man, you see. He wanted the full blessings at the same time get initiated in ISKCON. But there's no anxiety like that in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, if you want to change genders, you can do it. But generally, they don't do that. Why? Because everybody feels that my rasa is the best rasa, you see. That rock who's in Shantaras, he says, nobody gets more mercy than me because every day Krishna comes and he sits down right on top of me. I get to be Krishna's asana every day when he takes his lunch with the cowherd boys, you see. So that rock is feeling I am the most fortunate. Actually, if in the spiritual world everybody wanted to be a gopi, which is the highest rasa, of course, according to the acharyas, in the spiritual world it wouldn't be a very good place. If everybody was a gopi, there'd be no flute, there'd be no trees, no flowers, no cows, no calves, you see. There'd be only gopis. So actually, the spiritual world is perfect because every single living entity, he gets to be exactly what he wants to be. And there's all varieties. Some living entities want to be flowers. Some want to be birds. Some want to be peacocks. If there was no peacocks, and only gopis, then Krishna wouldn't have a peacock feather in his hair, you see. So it's perfect in the spiritual world. Everybody gets to be exactly what they want to be. And there's no envy. So it's a very nice question you've asked. Simply, we have to try to always increase that love for Krishna. Sometimes my disciples write me and they say that how I can please you. You're my spiritual master. How can I please you? And I tell them exactly what Prabhupada told my godbrother in Atlanta. To please me in the best possible way, Srila Prabhupada said, just try to love Krishna, you see. So that's what we're really here for. The services that we do, whether it's pujari work, cooking, cleaning, preaching, managing, accounting, whatever we may do, these are secondary. The real purpose of everything we're doing in this Krishna consciousness movement is for one purpose and one purpose only, is to try to develop our feelings of love for Krishna. You see, that is the purpose. So whatever you're doing, try to do it in such a way that your love for Krishna will become more and more developed. You see. That is Krishna consciousness. So now our time has run out. And I thank you all very, very much for participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada is very, very pleased that you are doing this. Your spiritual masters are very, very pleased that you're doing this. Please continue in this way, becoming more and more and more devoted to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada and to your spiritual masters. And your going back to home, back to Godhead, is absolutely guaranteed. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.